This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. And we're using an inclusive Bible translation that's easier to understand, perhaps, for the children and us adults. Hear these words. Jesus loved his disciples. He knew he was going to heaven soon and wanted to make sure they weren't afraid. Jesus and his friends sat down on the soft grass. Jesus said, "It's important to remember all I've taught you. Love God. Love other people. Help each other. Remember, God is most important. God will always love you." Jesus looked at each of his friends' faces. He cared so much for them. "I promise I'll always love you and everyone who comes after you. I won't be here much longer, but don't worry. God's Holy Spirit will be with you always. The Holy Spirit will help you and God's children forever." So the disciples trusted Jesus and the promise he made. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks
be to you, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. So when I agreed to fill in for your beloved Pastor Katie months ago, I had no idea it would be Trinity Sunday, Father's Day, and the third Sunday of the month with a special invitation for the kids and inclusivity. What an honor and a delight. A true confession, I was initially nervous. For several years now, I've been filling in for your pastors, even before Katie, and many of you know I'm an ordained United Methodist minister, but so welcome with my brothers and sisters in the Lutheran faith tradition. So with all the special things about this Sunday, I was a little nervous, but then I remembered, some of you may too, I know Mr. Bob will, may remember that years ago, I preached here when y'all were, it was after one of the hurricanes, because we were in the other area, Fellowship Hall, I preached on Reformation Sunday. Now let me make that clearer, I'm a United Methodist minister preaching to a Lutheran congregation on Reformation Sunday. Martin Luther, the leader of the Reformation movement. There would be no United Methodist if it weren't for Martin Luther. So I figured if I could do that, then I could do this today. So this Sunday, in addition to celebrating our fathers, father roles, father figures, and our sweet kids, we explore God in three persons. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which we refer to the threefold nature of God as the Trinity. This is Trinity Sunday. Even in the United Methodist Church, it is. So I find the Holy Trinity powerful and comforting. But I confess it's hard to wrap my brain around this divine Christian concept, and I'm probably not alone. And that's okay. So today we pray for wisdom, for guidance, and for God's ongoing presence. You see, through the Holy Trinity, the one God, we know that we are embraced, protected, and guided. And we're reminded to rejoice in God's creation before the beginning of time to this very moment. As we try to unravel this mystery of the Trinity, my prayer is that you will gain perhaps a better understanding or a new appreciation for the gift God has given us in the form of a creator, a redeemer, and a sustainer. All God. Quick lesson. The Trinity broken down is what? Tri meaning three and uni meaning one. Or three and one. Tri plus unity is Trinity. So this is a Greek word that's been used to describe this divine co-unity called perichoresis. Perichoresis, I did a little research. And the word literally means, if they have any Greek scholars in here, literally means dancing around or dancing in a circle. Even though we sometimes look at the Trinity as like a triangle because of the Trinity, the tri, it's also, think about it as a dance and a circle. I like that. I like that vision. So Christian theologians have been using this Greek word since the 3rd century, even though it might not be in our vernacular, right, to describe this dance of the eternal three in one, each distinct, yet interpenetrating the other, each pouring out grace and love to the other in the so-called dance. So we're going to try to unpack this a little together, and let's begin with the Father God, the Creator, looking at the beginning, the very beginning of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, as we move through this section, especially this Father part, I invite you to pay attention, and maybe you did in the Proverbs reading and the Psalm reading this morning. I heard it. I was more in tune for it, but pay attention to the subtle and also the clear references to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the other two persons in the Trinity. Actually, throughout the whole message today, scriptures we talk about, I think you can detect the tri in it all. So back in the beginning of the Bible, literally, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, literally the beginning, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then fast forward, jump to the Gospel of John, also chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God." End quote. Perhaps that He, that Word, is Jesus, all God. So now in our Proverbs lesson this morning, we hear of a spiritual movement called the wisdom of creation. I don't know if you heard that wisdom word in there in the reading. Before the beginning of time. It was in the Psalms too. Before the beginning of time. So many consider this spiritual movement as the Holy Spirit presence before creation. Before the Holy Spirit breathed on those disciples that day that we learned at Pentecost, at Pastor Katie preached on June 8th, Pentecost Sunday. The divine spirit from before creation through today, all God. And I love how the Proverbs indicates this spirit-filled wisdom before creation is feminine in nature. Did you hear that? Like some theologians call this feminine spirit from before time Sophia. You may have heard that more in the theologian studying. And let me quote Proverbs 8:1. It says, "Does not wisdom call? And understanding raise her voice?" And then later in that same passage, you heard almost like the Holy Spirit first person testimony. It's the way I look at it. The scripture says, "The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first before the beginning of earth. End quote. That was from Proverbs. Maybe a little different translation y'all read here, but same thing. God's helper, rejoicing in all of God's creation, the Trinity. Now, just in these three biblical passages alone, folks, Genesis, the Gospel of John, and Proverbs, can you see the hints of our Creator God, the Word God, implied as our Savior to come, Jesus Christ, and the divine spirit of wisdom, our Holy Spirit? I hear it. Today is Father's Day. And despite how you may have experienced a human father in this world, know that God is our parent. And we all are his children, you. So find comfort in knowing that we all have a Godfather who loves you for who you are, who lives in you, made you in his image, and no matter what your experiences have been with your biological fathers or stepfathers or foster fathers, our God knows all that's in our hearts and in our minds, and he even knows how many hairs are on our head, and he knew this before we were even born. Let's rejoice in that, amen? Now, the second person in the Trinity is the Word, the Son. Hold this up again. The Son and Jesus as our Savior. Second person. Redeemer, Messiah, Savior, all God. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17 says, "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased.'" And that voice, of course, we align with God, right? Son, Jesus. I like the Eugene Peterson translation from the Message Bible that says, quote, for this same verse, "The moment Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters," remember John the Baptist baptized him, "came up out of the waters, the skies opened up and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove descending and landing on him, Jesus. And along with the Spirit, a voice said, 'This is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life.'" End quote from the Message Bible. So you heard the Spirit. The voice is presumed to be God and Jesus, the Son. Right there is a Trinity. That one God, our one God, loves us so much that he sent Jesus to us as our Savior. Jesus, the only divine, sinless human, divine and human, a human that we can relate to, that walked this earth, Jesus who was touched, who was witnessed by other humans, who feels our pain, who weeps when we weep, is the model with whom we live as Christians. Jesus, God in the flesh, like the apple flesh analogy that we said at the children's message, the inside, the flesh, like our flesh. Jesus had flesh. Jesus experienced human life with us, knowing it was only temporary. Can you imagine that? Jesus' work on this earth was short-lived, yet everlasting. His mission was to reveal himself to us, capturing our hearts and minds of his disciples and many other witnesses. It wasn't just a witness, setting an example and empowering the people to continue spreading the ultimate good news with all the nations. And of course, his culminating mission was to save us by dying on a cross, delivering us, delivering you from your sins. This is the good news that we modern-day disciples, yes, we are disciples, continue to spread throughout the world today. Jesus, all God, all human. And Jesus' words in the Bible, the red letters in some translations, red letters provides us with some convincing words confirming the Trinity, especially from the Gospel of John. I love the Gospel of John. Jesus said, these are quotes from chapter 10, John. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Jesus also said in the Gospel of John, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Also in John, Jesus said, he who beholds me beholds the one who sent me. There you have it. Jesus' birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection, a mission from the Father, and a gift to us. A gift to us from the Father, yet also God in human form, Jesus, dying for our sins to save us from ourselves and with the promise of everlasting life. That is a gift that we Christians can celebrate. Jesus is our Redeemer and Savior, human and divine, all God. So in light of Father's Day and the Trinity, I'll share this little ditty with you. A Jewish father was concerned about his son. He had not truly raised him to be grounded in the faith of Judaism. So, hoping to remedy this, he sent his son to Israel. Now, of course, when this little ditty was written, I wasn't aware of all the current things going on in Israel right now and all that area. But anyway, roll with it. Sent his son to Israel so the boy could experience his heritage. A year later, the young man returned home, and he said, Father, thank you for sending me to the land of our fathers. It was wonderful and enlightening. However, I must confess that while I was in Israel, I converted to Christianity. Oh, groan. What have I done? The father thought. So in the tradition of the patriarchs, he went to his best friend and sought advice and solace. It is amazing that you should come to me, stated his friend. I too sent my son to Israel and he returned a Christian. Once again, in the traditions of the patriarchs, they went to the rabbi. It is amazing. You should come to me, stated the rabbi. I too sent my son to Israel and he returned a Christian. What is happening to our sons? Brothers, we must take this to the Lord, said the rabbi, and they fell to their knees and began to wail and pour out their hearts to the Almighty. And as they prayed, the clouds above opened and a mighty voice stated, amazing, you should come to me. I too sent my son to Israel. Please, no disrespect for our Jewish brothers and sisters. This was just a silly way to demonstrate the meaning and the impact of our Christian faith today, and a reminder of the importance of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, in our faith tradition. So continuing with the Trinity, we spoke of the Father, the Son, and Jesus, and now the Holy Spirit. The divine wisdom spirit was addressed, of course, during our God the Creator description. So we circle back, in a way, the dance. Remember the dance? We circle back. There's even like a circle around even our little triangle demonstration. We circle back in a way that divine co-unity, that Greek word, perichoresis, the Trinity, dancing in a circle. The Holy Spirit is our sustainer, God's omnipresent helper. And Jesus said, this is from the Gospel of John, quote, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, wisdom, Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you Know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. End quote. Christians, Holy Spirit in you. Can't you just notice when the Spirit is in someone, God's Spirit, you just know it. One of the most recognized of the Holy Spirit is our understanding of Pentecost, like I mentioned, when the Spirit appeared that day to the disciples, and as Jesus promised this. Pastor Katie preached on it recently, the liturgical calendar, you know, June 8th was Pentecost, also in the United Methodist Church, follow the same calendar. In Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, you know it well, wasn't that long ago, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And if you recall, that same Holy Spirit, shortly after this scene, enabled, empowered, and equipped the disciple Peter to preach to the crowds. Remember, he preached to the crowds with confidence and reverence because of this helper, this Holy Spirit in him. And the scripture says that day, 3,000 people were transformed, saved. Friends, that same Holy Spirit is in us today as believers, Christ's followers, his disciples. And this Spirit in our hearts and minds gives us strength, gives us guidance, gives us discernment, God in spirit, living in the believer. And think about it. Every time, I know you can relate to this, every time you feel that nudge, you know, some people say a little whisper or whatever, nudge or a calming presence. Despite what's going on around you, we experience peace sometimes, right? In that, or maybe we see clarity for the first time. That could be the Holy Spirit within us, a source of guidance from the Almighty, comforting. That same spiritual feminine movement in the wisdom of creation before the beginning of time may also be the Holy Spirit that was breathed upon us and is with us today as our sustainer. That dance, that's divine and beyond our understanding. It's literally mind-blowing. This dance and the mystery, even some people say, is beyond free. It's so beyond our understanding that it's infinite. And they call it infantarian instead of a tritarian. Who knows? That said, some theologians, and you might have heard this before, balk at the Trinity and don't believe that it's biblical because, you know, the word's not there, right? Some say that the concept and some of the scripture references to this are not authentic, and perhaps some scriptures were added to the codified Bible later in time. Well, that's between you and God, and whether you believe God is triune, it's just something to think about. But know that it's foundational truth for Lutherans as well as all mainline Christian denominations. In fact, my little research here, I love to share with you what I found. It's the sermon preparation notes that Martin Luther himself used to preach on Trinity Sunday in 1522. There was a Trinity Sunday in 1522, and it's taken from his church postal. I had to look that up, postal, medieval Latin term meaning a note or commentary written in the margin of the Bible. These are like Luther's notes in preparation for his Trinity Sunday sermon. And he even confesses the mystery of it. So hear these words from 1522. Luther said, David says in Psalm 33:6, by the word of Jehovah were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the spirit of his mouth. Here it is quite clear, this is Luther talking, that the Holy Spirit is God, because the heavens and all their hosts were made by him. And again, David says in Psalm 139, quote the Bible, "Whither shall I go from my spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there." Now Luther continues saying, "Now this cannot be said of any creatures, that it is everywhere and fills the whole world, but only of God, the Creator." Luther continues, "Therefore, we cling to the scriptures, those passages which testify of the Trinity of God, and we say, I know very well that in God there are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But how they can be one, I do not know. Neither should I know." End quote from Martin Luther. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Martin Luther penned those as he was even baffled too. And it's okay. In fact, there's a 18th century German theologian, Gerhard Terstegen, said, quote, "A God understood, a God comprehended, is no God." Think about that. A God understood, a God comprehended, is no God. We're not supposed to know it all. It's a mystery, right? This side of heaven. And, you know, I may not understand it here personally, but I believe it. It's called faith, remember? Faith. 1 John says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." So, wrapping up here, because the concept of the triune God is complex, we try to use these analogies, right, and metaphors, like the apple, and you've heard the one with ice and water, right? You know, it's water, a vapor, steam, it's water, and it's ice, but it's all ice. And of course, the apple analogy. But of course, none of these, you know, really work perfectly. They all fall woefully short, but it helps us to try to understand it. So, how about a poem? Quick poem, true confession with the help of AI. I wanted to rhyme and I wanted to be short, you know, anyway. So I don't take credit, but I did edit a little bit. It's actually really good. Here's a poem, and this is good for the kids to hear, because it's easy to understand. "One God in three persons, a mystery divine. The Father, Son, and Spirit perfectly aligned. The Father above, creator of all, who spoke the world to life with his call. From him flows love, eternal and true, the source of all blessings that come to me and you. The Son, Jesus Christ, who walked on this earth, God made flesh through a virgin birth. He lived and he died, then rose from the grave, our Savior and Lord, who came here to save. The Holy Spirit, the helper, so near, who comforts and guides when we draw him here. He lives in our hearts, makes God's presence known. Through him we are never walking alone. Three persons distinct, yet one God they are, like three rays of light from one single star. Not three separate gods, but one God in three. A beautiful truth for all eternity. The Trinity shows us God's perfect love, the Father's plan from his throne above, the Son's sacrifice for our sin and shame, the Spirit's power in Jesus' name. Though our minds can't grasp this mystery complete, we trust in this God so holy and sweet. Three in one and one in three, our God for eternity." Let us pray. O holy triune God, we mere humans who have yet to figure out all the mysteries of our own human bodies and vast universe can't possibly grasp your divine nature and love. while we're on this side of heaven. Grant us, Lord, the depth of understanding of your multidimensional power and presence. We are so humbled, O God. We rejoice and give thanks that you have revealed yourself as a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and ever live and reign in that perfect unity of love. You are the only one true God as a Trinity. This Trinity is our companion, our hope giver, our peace giver, our strength builder. And so empower us, O Lord, to always hold firmly and joyfully to this faith and living in praise of your divine majesty. May we be one in you and one with each other, who are three persons in one God, forever and ever. Let us pray. Amen.